I want to brag on Jacqueline as well and what she does with our children's ministry and how she puts everything together. And our Awana programs are on Wednesday nights. They are jam-packed. We got kids and youth all over this building. And I really want to challenge you, if you're not involved in children's ministry, to get involved. I don't know about you, but that video moved me. That video spoke the importance of we have a mission field right here in our church that leaves this building every morning and goes into separate rooms. That if they don't come to know Jesus by the time they're 14, was it? That the chances of them giving their life to Christ dramatically goes down. I don't know any better investment and any better time to invest your energy in than with children. If we want to change America, we start with the children. We raise up a generation who loves Jesus and who will live for Jesus and knows the God of the Bible. And I want to challenge you, some of you, if you work with our children, would you stand up? All of our people that work with our children, would you stand up? Would you give these guys and gals a round of applause? One thing, guys, that I see lacking is a lot of guys. We need more guys helping. On Wednesday night, we got this thing called Club 56. And Tammy, God love her heart, she's in there. And she's got like one girl and the rest are all boys, or is that right? Three girls and the rest are boys. And that's a wild class. Fifth and sixth grade boys. How many of y'all know that can be a strange land? That's called foreign missions there. And what these young boys need at fifth and sixth grade, they need a man in there to help teach them. Man, I'm going to call you out. You need to get involved. Now, you know, with the little bitty ones, okay, fine. We'll let the women, but hey, you can be in there too. Kevin, you help in nursery, don't you? Where are you at? I thought I saw you standing up. We have some guys helping in nursery. That's great. And David works with RAs on Sunday nights. That's wonderful. We also need to get some more guys involved. We need to be able to instill that importance to our children that they need to know the Lord. How many of us guys, we teach our kids how to throw a baseball, a football, dribble a basketball, kick a soccer ball? Okay. How about let's teach them how to know the Bible, love Jesus, live for Him? Sign-ups will be after the service. You ready? Here we go. All right, let's stand for the reading of God's Word, and I want to read a passage in Genesis chapter 50, starting at verse 22. It says, "Now Joseph stayed in Egypt, he and his father's household, and Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph saw the third generation of Ephraim's sons, also the sons of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were born on Joseph's knees. Joseph said to his brothers, 'I'm about to die, but God will surely take care of you and bring you up from this land to the land which he promised on oath to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob.' Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, 'God will surely take care of you, and you shall carry my bones up from here.' So Joseph died at the age of 110 years, and he was embalmed and placed in a coffin in Egypt." Let's pray. Father, as we look at the greatness of who you are and what you can do and what you will do in our lives, I pray, God, that we will understand today that you lead us and you guide us and you protect us and you comfort us, and you are God who brings us out of Egypt and into your promised blessings today. Father, we thank you for what we saw today, the children singing praises to you, God. I pray, Lord, that those young boys and girls, as they learn about you, Lord, that they will grow up to be men and women who will serve you faithfully and unashamedly, God. Thank you for those workers. Thank you for those teachers. Thank you for the assistants. Thank you for those who invest their time, Lord, reaching a group of people that is prime for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, may we hear today what you have to say. Lord, help me to be plain today. Help me to preach clear today. For it's in your name that I pray, and the name of Jesus I preach. Amen. You may be seated. When we look today at this last closing statement of Joseph, the title this morning is The Leading Presence of the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, The Leading Presence of the Lord. We're going to talk about how he leads us and he guides us. In Exodus, what we just read in Genesis was Joseph before he is about to die. Now, Joseph was the son that got sold into slavery. He went to Potiphar's house. He ended up rescuing his brothers and sisters of the famine, and they all came to Egypt. And this is how the Hebrews end up in Egypt before they become enslaved and in bondage. And how did Joseph know the oath that God made to Abraham? I wonder how he knew that. Anybody want to take a stab at it? It's going to be open discussion dialogue this morning. From his father, who heard it from what? His father, who heard it from who? His father. Fathers, you see the importance there? Passing down to your children the importance of God's truth. And so it was in the, they knew he was taught about God. He was taught about this promise, and the promise to Abraham was, I'm going to make you a great name, and I'm going to make you a great nation, and your descendants are going to be as numerous as the stars in the heavens and the sand on the seashore. And he knew this promise, and he was in Egypt, and he was about to die. And he calls the sons of Israel together, and he makes them swear an oath. He says, now I'm about to die. Now when I die, you don't leave my bones in Egypt. I want you to make a promise to me. I want you to carry my bones to the promised land that God made to our father Abraham. How many of y'all know that is a life of faith? To be able to say that, now I'm going to die, and I know even when I'm dead, the promise is still going to come true. God's still going to come through his promise. Even though I don't reach the promised land, I know God's promise is going to come through. Make sure that you bury my bones in that land. When the Egyptians began to just multiply, when the Hebrews began to multiply, there was a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. And he looks out one day and he says, there are so many Hebrews, there are so many Hebrew people that if they wanted to, they could overcome us. They could rise up, form an army, and overtake our empire. So what that Pharaoh did was he made them slaves. They were slaves in Egypt for over 400 years. It's a long time, isn't it? In bondage. God proved faithful to his promise, and he raised up a man named Moses. And he told Moses, you are going to go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. And from Exodus chapter 1 all the way through Exodus chapter 13, we have the encounter of how God raised up Moses, and he called him out, and he began bringing his plagues upon Egypt and convincing the people, the Pharaoh and the people there of Egypt, that we needed to let them go. And we read of God's great deliverance of the Hebrew people. And here's some three facts that I want you to know this morning. Is one, that his being the Lord, his leading presence opens the way for your life. Write that down. Note that. His leading presence opens the way for your life. God had a plan. He had a purpose. He had a promise. And he was going to make a way out of Egypt. Aren't you glad to know that we don't have to live in bondage? We don't have to live in Egypt. That he does make a way for us to escape. The Hebrews didn't have the power to escape themselves. They needed God. How many of y'all know you don't have the power to escape yourselves? You can't free yourselves. You can't save yourself. You can't redeem yourself. There needs to be a way. And we're here today because we worship a God who opens the way. Look at your neighbor and say, he opens the way. That's very key, because we're going to talk about his leading presence. Because what we want to strive for as a believer and follower of Jesus Christ is to always recognize his presence in our life. That he desires to open the way for us to know him. He desires to lead us to the way to follow him. And so as we read through Exodus and we come and Moses is coming before Pharaoh and there's plagues are coming, finally God opens the door through what we call the Passover. And the Passover was when God said, you are to put blood over the doorpost and on the tops and on the sides, and the death angel is going to come and he's going to kill the firstborn son of every family unless the blood is applied over the door. You see, God is opening what? A way. He's opening a way for life. And when that blood was applied to the door and the death angel came, he passed over that house. We look backwards and we know the story of the cross and we know the story of Christ and we know the story of the bloodshed on Calvary. And that was pointing to Jesus' ultimate redemption, that he would be on the cross and he would be sacrificed and his sin would our sin would be placed upon him and his blood would cover our sin. And if we apply the blood of Jesus over our lives, guess what? We are passed over when the death angel comes and we are brought to life in who? Jesus. He opens the way. And so he opened the way for the Israelites, and they're going through and they're escaping Egypt. And they're going, and well, how do they know where to go? They didn't have GPS with Siri telling them how to get around. They had GPS with Jehovah. Now, here's what I want us to see. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Exodus chapter 13, and we'll read verses 17 through 22. But before we do that, I want to jump down to verse 22. Before we get to, I want to jump down to verse 19. Sorry, Brock, if you can jump down to 19 for me, because I want to set this up before I get to the other points. In verse 19, it tells us that Moses took the bones of who? Joseph with him, for he made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, "God will surely take care of you, and you shall carry my bones from here with you." As Moses frees the people from slavery, before they head out of Egypt and go where God is going to tell them to go, guess what they go do? They go get Joseph's bones. I mean, you got to picture this. Joseph, man, he's a type of Christ, and he was a way for the people to be saved. He brought them out of the bondage, and Moses, I could just probably picture this. Let me be a little, have a little leeway. It's not in scripture, but just with my creative mind and how I see it. And I see Moses maybe going to Aaron saying, "Aaron, we need to go get the bones of Joseph. Go get his body, because we're headed to the promised land and we're not going to leave him behind." Because before he died, he already told that God was going to prove faithful. And this is just another step in this journey. And so they gather his body. Why? Because it was very important to the Hebrew people to be buried with their family. And so they go, they get Joseph's bones, and they're carrying it with them. And here they're going through, and in verse 17, it says, "Now when Pharaoh had let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, even though it was near. For God said, the people might change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt." I want to stop right there just for a moment, because not only does God, his leading presence, prepare the way for our life, his presence directs the way for our life. I want you to notice something very neat about God here. God knows us, okay? He knows how fickle we are. Have you ever found out that people are fickle? Huh? I mean, jump on the bandwagon. I mean, I'm like, yeah, you know, go Cardinals, you know? I mean, they may be the top number one seed in the whole tournament. Woohoo! That is a Kentucky team, you know? I mean, we're fickle, right? I mean, people will go, and he knows us. He knows how we are. And so God, in his sovereignty, though he could have went through and he could have wiped out the Philistines if he so chose, but it wasn't the time for the judgment upon the Philistines at this point. He does not take them the quick route to the promised land. This would only have been about a 4 to 5 day journey. This would have been the most logical way. It had been the quickest way. It had been the fastest route. But God, it says specifically, he does not take them by the way of the Philistines. Why? Because he knew that the people might fear and turn. Why? Because the Philistines were a warring people. They were pretty tough. They had a pretty good army. And the Hebrew people had been what? Slaves. They were making pyramids, okay? They weren't learning how to fight battles, okay? And so God knew not to take them that way. Aren't you glad that God knows which way we need to go? Aren't you glad that he knows the route we need to take better than we know the route we need to take? How many of you all have ever chosen your own path? And you end up in a dead end. God always leads us to the right course. It says he did not lead them that way. I think of a psalm when I think of this truth here. And I think of Psalm 23. If you would find Psalm 23 there. I know I'm jumping around on you and I'm not going in order. But Psalm 23. The Lord is my what? I shall not. Then what's it say next? It says he what? He makes me lie down where? In green pastures. Now notice, it says he makes me lie down in green pastures. Why? Well, because the shepherd is a good shepherd. And sheep, they're not very smart animals. And they're dumb. And so the Bible kind of says we're like sheep. And so that means that we sometimes we're pretty dumb. How many of y'all would agree to that? How many times I do some dumb things? I still do dumb things. I don't know why, but I still do. I'm fallen. But God, he knows where we need to go. So he will make us lie down in green pastures, because if it's left up to us, guess where we would go? We'd wander off in some dangerous territory. But God knows where we need to go. And then he says, he leads me beside what? Quiet or still waters. Why? Well, if you get over to a stream that's moving too quickly and you fall in, and a sheep falls in, and, well, they got on him. Wool. What happens when wool gets wet? It gets heavy. And it sinks, and it's dangerous. And so God says, I'm going to lead you beside quieter still waters. Because if you're not careful, you'll go to the dangerous part. That's what he was doing to the Hebrews. He said, I'm not going to take you this route because I know your heart. And I know you're not ready for that. And I know you wouldn't be prepared for that. And so I'm going to guide you where that I need you to go. He directs the way for life. Now look at verse 18. It says, back in Exodus again. Hence, God led the people around by the way of the wilderness to the Red Sea. And the sons of Israel went up in martial array from the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely take care of you and shall carry my bones from where here with you. Says verse 20, then they set out from Succoth and camped in Etham on the edge of the wilderness. Now look at verse 21. You need to underline this, these parts in the Bible. The Lord was going where? Before them, in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. God, his presence, was leading his people, and he was going before them. He was leading them. And it says it was a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. And when it was nighttime, that would be a fire that would lead the way so that they could see. And when it was daytime, it would be cloud so that it would shield from the sun so that they could see and they could move. It went before them. Because why? Because God leads his people. We're to follow who? Him. We don't say, God, here's what I've got planned for my life. Well, come on, what are you doing over there? I'm going this way. How many of y'all try to tell God where to go? You try to direct God to do your will and to do your plan and to do your thing. And God says, I will lead you. How many of y'all realize that if you will allow Jesus to lead you, your life will make an eternal impact? Do you realize that? It'll have eternal impact. And God leads his people. And there's a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. And there's the smoke of God. It's not white smoke and it's not black smoke. It's a fire and it's a cloud. And he alone leads his people. He alone is God. He alone is sovereign. Jesus Christ is our priest. Jesus Christ is our king. It is to him that we look to. It is to him that we sing. It is to him that we follow. Where he leads me, I will what? Go or follow. God's good. He doesn't abandon his people. And he comes to them in a very practical way that helps them to travel day and night and also to protect them. And he leads them and he guides them and he's out before them. And where he is out in front, then that's where they're to go. And wherever God goes, then they are to move and follow his direction. You know, that's how it's supposed to be in our life. It's supposed to be that we do what God wants us to do, and we see where he wants us to go, and we hear what he wants us to say, and we do, and we say things, and we do things, and we follow him, and we let him always be before us. This is what they did. All through Exodus, the glory of God does not abandon them through the wilderness. The cloud and the fire is always moving. It's always protecting. It's always guiding. It's always leading. And later on, as you continue to read, it says that when the cloud, when they built the tabernacle and the glory of God would stay and rest upon them, they stayed there and they would not leave until the cloud would move. And then when the cloud moved, when God's presence moved and God's presence went to a different location, then guess what they would do? They'd pack up the tabernacle, which is like a big old tent, huge, and they would pack that up and they would move. Why? Because who were they following? God. And when his presence and when he would move and he would move this direction, they would go to that direction. When he would say, we need to go here, that's where they would go. And that was the way of life. He was training them. He was teaching them to listen to who? Him. To follow who? Him. And Jesus, when he comes, he says, I am the what? I am the truth and the life. He says, I'm the good shepherd. How do we keep our focus on God? How do we see God's presence? Because, I don't know, I haven't seen a pillar of cloud by fire and cloud and fire by day and night. Have you? Anybody ever walk up in the morning and all of a sudden there's this swirling cloud? You're like, whoa! And you just kind of follow it around and you kind of know what you're supposed to do. How many of y'all have ever seen that or done that? Because if so, I need to talk to you after this is over. So how do we sense his presence? Well, God still speaks today. One great way that God speaks is through this thing that we preach for him every Sunday. It's called the Bible. And when you open up the pages of the Bible, guess what you get to read from? His voice. That seems so simple, doesn't it? I mean, that didn't take any effort on my part. I mean, it went like the Bible was here, and I was like, Coach Gooch, like in the weight room here. But man, the way some of us don't read the Bible, you would think it would be that big of a chore, right? Some of you must be more spiritual than me, because I have to do Bible studies, and I have to have quiet times. And in my small group that I'm a part of, we came across a section called about Jesus being the Good Shepherd. And man, it just spoke to me. I want us to look at that for a moment. In John chapter 10. In John chapter 10. You got to be praying, reading the Bible, fellowshipping with other believers, in study. This helps you sense the presence of God. This helps you hear from God. In John chapter 10, I'm going to start at verse 7. I didn't put it up there. I just put verse 10 there. But let me start at verse 7. It says, so Jesus said to them again, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Verse 9, again, he says, I am the what? I am the door. Because he is the way, right? His leading presence opens the way. His leading presence directs the way. Now watch. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. Everybody said what? Amen, glory, hallelujah. Aren't you glad that it says that you will be saved? I'm glad it doesn't say you might be saved or you could be saved or you should be saved. And well, if you hang on in there at the very end, you will be. That says you will be saved. I'm glad of that. He will go out and find pasture. Verse 10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came so that you may have life and have it how? Abundantly. Now look at verse 11. I am the what? I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd does what? He lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, he sees the wolf coming and he leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. Right? Here's the third truth. His leading presence guards our way of life. He guards us. He protects us. He says the hired hand, the person who doesn't have a personal interest in the sheep, if they were to see a wolf come, they're like, wah! And they just take off running. They're not going to try to fight that wolf because they don't care about the sheep because it's not theirs. But verse 14, I am the what? good shepherd. And I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. He's talking about the Gentiles here. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. I protect my sheep. If a wolf comes and gets him, I'm on it. Jesus is our elder brother. He's our big brother. Some of you may have had the benefit of having a big brother that was always guarding over you and watching over you. This is Jesus. Jesus says, these are mine. I love them, and nobody's going to mess with my young brother. You mess with them, you mess with who? Me. He guards us. He not only opens the way to salvation, he not only leads us on how to live, but he guards us and he protects us because he's the good shepherd. And when I was in my Bible study and I was talking about that, I just, for the first time, I've read that verse over and over again, and just something happened. It just popped out to think, man, Jesus, he's not some hired hand. He's not someone that just acts like he has interest in me. He knows me. He loves me. He cares for me. He knows me by name. And if the devil comes at me, he has to get through Jesus. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, that kind of makes me feel a little better. That kind of helps me live. That kind of helps me go through things, because I know that the leading presence of the Lord is always around me. Not only did the pillar of cloud by fire lead them, it would also protect them. Later on in Exodus chapter 14, when they're about to get to the Red Sea, and they come up, and the presence of the Lord leads them to this big sea, and they're like, oh, great, now what are we going to do, Moses? You brought us all the way out into Egypt to die? I mean, what's wrong with you? What are you doing? And God says, tells Moses what? Raise your staff up. And he raises his staff, and whew, the waters part. But guess what else happens? The Bible says that the cloud of God, or the presence of God, it moves from the front and it goes to the back, and it separates them from the Egyptians, and he walls them off while they're crossing over on dry land. God not only guards you from the front, he guards you from the back, from the side, to the right, to the left. He is our God and our King who loves us. In his presence makes all the difference in the world. You say, well, boy, I'd like to see some of that fire and cloud come down. Yeah. It came down all right. It came down in flesh. Jesus, eternal. The Father, Son, Spirit. God existed eternally. Jesus didn't come into being when he was birthed. He always was. The glory cloud of God, the glory of the Lord, that is God's manifestation of himself right there with his people. And they built a tabernacle and his presence came. John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The word dwelt is tabernacled. And he came as the perfect Lamb of God to take away our sin. And he went all the way to the cross so that we might be saved. Jesus opened the way for what? Salvation. If you don't know Jesus today, you know what? He is calling out. His presence is here, and he desires for you to step out and say, Jesus, be Lord of my life. I have sinned, I've messed up. I'm not perfect. How many of y'all can admit that? I mean, I don't know about you. It's not too hard for me to admit I'm not perfect. Michelle can tell you how imperfect I am. Amen? There is a perfect one. His name is Jesus. He died for me and for you so that those who would believe in him, he would save completely. Not only does he open the way for salvation, but then he leads us on how to live. How many of y'all glad that in our study as well, in our Bible study, Jesus talked about he didn't leave us as orphans, but he promised that the Holy Spirit would live inside of us and he would lead us and guide us. How many of y'all glad of that? And he guards us. Today, man, we got a great chance to get a new life. Some of you needed to get you just need to get a new life. How you do that? You change gods. So what God am I serving? Most Americans, you know what God they serve? Themselves. Some of you have been playing God way too long. And you've realized you're not omniscient. You're not omnipresent. And you're not all knowing. So what do? We come to him today. And we say, I think I'll quit playing God and trust you. Today, someone needs to do that. Some of you, you know what you need to do? Kind of recommit your life. You're a Christian, but you haven't been living like you know you should. And you've been wandering without following. Praise team, come and get us ready for our invitation as they come and get us ready. I want us to think about that situation. What if you're a believer today and you're not following his presence? You know what the good shepherd will do? He'll leave the 99 and go chase down the one. Amen. To make sure that they're back in. Some of you might be that one sheep. You're out there in no man's land and you know better than that. And you know, I need to get back in with Jesus. Today, guess what? That's a chance to come and do it. Some of you, you just got things going in your life. You just want to pray. Some of you may just need to give some praise to God. This altar is open. And then the fire came down. And the... So there you go. So we're going to pray, and we're going to respond. Whatever you need to do. Let this be a time for God. This up here, we've got places to pray. We made it big. We made it wide because we want this place to be a place where you can come and pray. Talk to God. Meet with God. Get in his presence. Some of you haven't prayed to God in a long time. Today would be a good day to start. Some of you are harboring bitterness in your heart, anger, resentment. You got to let it go. You lay it right down. Lay it down here. God wants to take your life. He wants to give you a brand new heart, a brand new mind, and a brand new direction. And that starts today. Let's pray. Father, I just pray, God, that your Holy Spirit begins to speak to us, God. You know exactly where we are. You know our individual struggles. God, you know the things that I am tempted with. You know the things that each person here is tempted with. And you know the doubts and the fears and the hurt, the anger, all of that. You know emotionally right where we are. You know our physical well-being. You know our sickness. You know, you know what are on, we know everything about us, God. And so we pray, God, as David prayed, Lord, search me and know my thoughts. See if there be anything in me that you need to reveal so that I may come to you, God, and lay it down. Some of you are trusting in yourself. And you think that by your own good works and that your own goodness, you're going to get to heaven. And let me help you with the frustration, the disappointment. You will never be good enough to go to heaven on your own. That's why Jesus came. That's why he died. He is good and perfect. And so today, if you've been trusted in yourself, I'm going to ask you to come and trust Jesus. Lay it down. Some of you, you know the Lord, and he's saying, come back. Come back home. The dinner's on the table. I've kept it warm for you. It's time to get back in my presence. Jesus, have your way. Let us respond. Let us obey. In your name, amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Let's come. Let's respond. For whatever reason, whosoever will, for whatever reason, come.